AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, 930 on a Monday morning, and that makes it City Matters, and I get to spend about a half an hour with City Manager Mike Bailey and members of the staff and or management of the City of Bartlesville. I think they're all staff. I'm not sure I got any. I think of the City Council as management of the city.
That's right.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you doing today?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Man, it is a beautiful day.
Yeah. So many, near the end of September, we're still sweating our way through the remnants of summertime.
That's it.
And I'm sure people's weather preferences vary, but I like the fact that we get four seasons.
This, I agree. Unfortunately, I wish I could have just more spring, more fall, less summer, less winter, but because I'm one of those people that I'm always looking to the next thing.
So. When I see the person to file your request with, I will file the appropriate request.
I think it's supposed to be the chamber, but they've been ignoring me on this one, Charlie. I'm a little disappointed in them.
718-330-7032.
I'm going to go see Sherry soon. We can do about this.
Okay. Or at least the BDA or BDC or, you know, somebody ought to be able to do that for you. You know.
Well, and Micah and I were discussing on the way over here that it was a good weekend for me.
Okay.
It was a bad weekend for him. So you can tell who roots for which football team.
You can.
Although it was almost a bad weekend for both of us. The Army game was pretty close.
It was closer than I think some fans wanted it to be.
It was pretty close. Yeah, we were there, and I can tell you the last time that I stayed till the end of a game, and everyone else in the stadium did. It's been a while, so that place was absolutely packed, and it was quite a show, though. It'd be nice to – maybe we can get them to come up here and play an exhibition game for us,
Charlie.
That would
be good. Of course, it's homecoming for Bartlesville High School.
It is homecoming. Very excited about that. There's, of course, the 8th grade and the 9th grade and the JV. Unfortunately for them, they happen to play on the night of the homecoming parade, so they can't participate. But, of course, we've got the homecoming parade. There's I believe there's a homecoming dance, which thankfully my daughter's not going to. That makes me feel better.
I won't ask how she feels, but
I don't know. I don't think I care in this particular instance, Charlie.
You said it right here for everybody to hear. You started off with a couple of announcements, something that came out early this morning on some sewer work.
Yeah, we do. We've got a street that's about to be closed. This is for sewer line repairs, and this is Michigan Street between Highway 75 and Avondale. It'll be closed beginning today, and with today being September 24th. Yes, that's today.
That is today.
For sewer main repairs. So the street will remain closed through Friday or until the project is complete. So hopefully weather permitting, it'll be closed less than that.
Based on the forecast, other than a chance, a really good chance for rain tomorrow night, you should have good working weather for it.
Well, let's hope so. That weather plays more of a role in the timing of these projects than anything else. I'm stealing Micah's thunder here. He's going to talk about that later. So, but
now I know who to talk to the weather about.
He's our weather guy.
He's the weather guy. Okay.
So, and then we also have a free leaf collection. It's coming up, and I realize we're announcing this a little bit in advance, but people want to plan ahead for when they collect their leaves.
There will be two collection periods, as I recall.
Our next one is November 12th through the 16th, and this will be, of course, you place the leaves at the curbs in bags on your normal trash collection day, and they'll be collected by solid waste crews. The collection, however, is for leaves and grass only. So during this event, leaf bags, I need to slow down, Charlie. I'm talking like an auctioneer here.
It's Monday.
I went to Glitz on Friday, and Roger was there with the auctioneering, and apparently I kind of picked up a little something here. He's better at it than I am.
We'll get you some more experience when you want.
Hey, let me come on to practice. So the leaf bags will not require yard waste stickers during that, and then residents may use either clear or colored bags during the campaign. And so leaf and grass will be collected once on your normal collection day of the week. So encourage everybody to participate in that. It's a great time to get rid of a little excess. We do this in spring and fall, of course. This was one of the concessions that was made when we switched over to a polycart system, which is a far more efficient and effective system for us to pick up waste. However, it had some limitations, especially as it came to leaves and things of that nature. And so we recognize that and do this is to try to balance our collection system out. So it's a good event and looking forward to that.
And you can put out as much as you want, but it's only that week.
That's right. Put out as much as you want, but you got to have it out by your normal collection day, and we will pick them up. And some people have some pretty impressive sized bags. I'm not even sure where they get them. It looks like a mattress full of leaves. And so,
I think some of the local stores sell them. I think they're what, contractor bags.
There was actually a guy that apparently he had just a roll of the tubing. He would tie off one end and he would pull it out and he'd cut it, and so he could make his bags of any size. I don't encourage that. We actually do have a maximum size bag that we allow, and that one exceeded that. So if you do that, you may find that your leaves are still there when you return home that evening.
Oops.
So that was but anyway, neither here nor there. Just use standard bags and everything will be fine. So, and with me today, Charlie, as always, I have several staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to start out with Captain Bevard. Captain Bevard, of course, is the patrol captain, mm-hmm, and our acting police chief right now.
I notice a blue line across his badge this morning. Good morning, Rocky.
Good morning. How are you, Charlie?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
Doing okay. Doing okay.
Good. Glad to hear it. What's going on with your PD, other than the fact you have a new chief coming to town in about a week or so? He may be here officially, but officially he comes to town in a week or so.
That's right. He'll be here October 1st.
We're working on a couple different projects right now that will be taking effect within the next month. One of those is our national drug take-back initiative that we've done a couple of times in the past with the DEA.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be October 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll have three stations for the public to bring unwanted prescription medications only. We won't take patch forms or illicit drugs, street drugs. It'll just be the prescription medications that people want to get out of their home or dispose of safely.
Mm-hmm. So you'll take all those Xanax pills and the blood pressure pills and the antibiotics, whatever, that in pills and capsules form. You don't take liquids, you don't take syringes.
Correct. That is correct. We'll have stations set up at both east side fire stations. One of them there on Madison Boulevard at Tuxedo, then the other behind Food Pyramid on Price Road, and then also at the police department. We'll have police officers there ready to take those unwanted prescription medications from the public from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 27th. This will be our third time to do this in the last year, I believe.
And if memory serves correctly, the previous two times, I'm not sure this is a good thing to come in second on, or maybe it is. We came in second in the state as far as the amount of things that you took in.
Yeah, and we almost, we did equal that the second time. The first time we were second in the state, I think 192 pounds is what we turned in, and then I think it was 191 pounds the second time, almost equal to what we took in the first time.
Can't you thumb on the scale just a little bit?
Yeah, really.
If you can do that next time.
You need to come down and help them out.
It's definitely a popular program that we've started to do, and it helps the public get rid of these medications before they're diverted illegally or children getting a hold of them, those kind of things, and we can get rid of them for the public safely.
That's right.
And disposed of without flushing them in the toilet or throwing them in the trash can and they end up in a landfill or something like that. We want to avoid that. So
now, Rocky, is this just prescription medications? Is this over the counters? Do we differentiate, or will we take all pills and capsules?
We'll take all pills, whether prescription or over-the-counter. We just don't want to take, like liquids and patch forms and syringes and those kind of things. So.
Yeah, there's other methods to dispose of those. So,
right.
But this is, you're right, Charlie. This has been a very successful program. I hope that's a good thing.
I think it is overall, because you're getting things out of the water supply.
That's right.
You're potentially preventing some teen's farm party some weekend. So it works.
Yeah, and as you've heard from Terry, this is one of the focuses of the EPA in the future. On wastewater, as they refer to them as, I think, as compounds or chemicals of emerging concern, something mm-hmm. of that nature. And those in particular, in light of the fact that we're examining wastewater reuse Those are definitely something that we want to limit, so we appreciate the police department, the DA's office, and the partnership that goes on with this to assist with that.
And this is funded at least in part through the DEA, as I recall.
Yeah, the Drug Enforcement Administration, federal side there, they are actually the ones that supply the materials, and they're the ones that actually destroy everything that we turn in to the field office in Tulsa when we're done with the program. So
I can only imagine what their disposal lot must look like on this day.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Rocky. I think there is a box that kind of looks like a mailbox just inside the police department that is there all the time if people, you know, would want to just dispose of things just on a more regular basis.
That is correct. It looks like a mailbox. Mm-hmm. It's white, and it's in the front lobby of the police department. When you walk in, turn left, it's right there on the left-hand side of the front lobby. That is actually monitored by the drug enforcement. I'm sorry, the state drug enforcement people.
Okay.
And they come and collect from that when it gets full. And so, yeah, anytime our lobby's open, they can come and dispose of the same type of medications and drugs in that mailbox.
But this is a much more convenient setup for people if you go to the fire station.
Correct. That is correct.
And this is, of course, anonymous.
It is.
And to be fair, the one in the police lobby is also anonymous.
We don't take anybody's name. We don't record them or anything like that. We just we're there for a public service, not for an enforcement issue.
Right. Well, thank you very much for that. And
sure.
I want to at least mention you lost an officer over the weekend.
We did. Tragic, sudden. Shocking and surprising to all of us.
There was a fundraiser just down the street for him on Saturday.
There was at Sal's Donut.
Saw that.
Sal's Daylight Donuts did a great thing for the family. I think they contributed 15% of their proceeds that day, and then they had our officers were taking collections for the family. It's Lieutenant Rob Fouts, and a great, great man. Very tragic loss to our department and to law enforcement in general.
Yeah. Very, very young man.
Yes, he was.
Been with the department for, I believe, 24 years. And the family, I'll put it this way, the Cops and Rodders car show for a couple of weeks, the sheriff's deputy reserves had set the family as, I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, so I may be off on the percentage, 50% of the proceeds from the concessions would go to the family. I assume that's still going to happen.
That is correct, yeah. The sheriff contacted me last week and asked me about that, and of course, we appreciate everything that they're doing for us. I know the family appreciates everything that they're doing for them, and anybody that can turn out for the car show, look at some great cars, visit with some great people, I'll be there. I have a car that I'll put in it every year, and then we'll have police vehicles there as well. If they can turn out and buy a hot dog and or drink or whatever the case may be there at the concession stand, 50% of that will go to the Fouts family.
Okay.
And there was a fitting tribute to him as he was being transported to his home.
Yeah, he was in the hospital last week until Thursday afternoon, and we arranged to escort him in his personal vehicle with all of our police vehicles. The county sheriff's office was there, our reserve unit, other law enforcement agencies here in the county, and I think we had close to 75 probably patrol vehicles that escorted him home.
I believe they were citizens that had stopped and
they did
and saluted and paid tribute
sure
to him.
Appreciate that. Yeah, people stopping and getting out of their cars and saluting as we went by. They probably had no idea what was going on at the time, but we do appreciate what they did for us there. And unknown on the services for Lieutenant Fouts right now. Hopefully later today we'll know more about the services for him.
Thank you very much, Rob. Rocky, appreciate it.
One other thing I might mention, Charlie, we were awarded a Oklahoma Highway Safety Office grant. This is specifically for speed enforcement. We were awarded $42,000 for overtime reimbursement for our personnel. This starts October 1 and runs through September 30th of 2019. That's on the federal fiscal year there. So we will be working extra hours specifically for speed enforcement, but we'll also be paying attention to people wearing seat belts, making sure that we keep the intoxicated drivers off the road. So those will be the focuses of that grant. I just thought I'd mention that people really need to be slowing down, because we're going to be out in force about 108 hours of extra time a month working specifically speed enforcement. So we'll have some more on that pretty quick, published in the media, I'm sure, but we do have that grant that was awarded to us, and we're working to get that overtime implemented to our personnel.
I don't know how you're going to do it, and I don't need to know specifically. I know sometimes you've done announced specific places and times, and otherwise sometimes it's, well, there you go, we're got another speeder.
Right.
So, but either way, the public needs to know that you will be looking.
We sure will. And the whole goal of this is to reduce injury and fatality accidents. I think the Oklahoma Highway Safety Office identified that out of the fatality accidents in 2016, 25% of those were caused from unsafe speed. So therefore, the speed enforcement issue that we're going to be working on.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Rocky. I appreciate that. And Charlie, I'd like to circle back to what Rocky said there at the end. The purpose of speed enforcement, despite what some people might accuse the police officers or the city of, is for safety. It is for public safety. This is part of their job. You know, we hire a police force to make us safe, and part of keeping us safe is keeping our roads safe. The speed limits that are posted, in fact, they are they're there for a reason. It's not just there for convenience. Now, there's a lot of factors that go into that. Micah, could you talk just for a minute about the process of setting speed? Micah is also our traffic engineer, and he just gave me a wide-eyed look because he literally had no idea we were going to talk about this. So here we go. Left turn here.
Engineers are qualified to talk about any topic at any time.
That's right.
It's just rude.
Good morning, Micah.
So, good morning, Charlie.
But there are a number of factors involved in setting speed, Micah, and all of them have to do with the safety, not just of the person driving the vehicle that's exceeding the speed, but the safety of pedestrians, the safety of the other drivers in the area.
That's correct. That's typically sight distance, stopping distance are factored in that heavily. If there's lots of driveways entering or side streets entering that specific stretch of roadway, that's taken into consideration. Obviously the horizontal and vertical alignment of the street is taken into consideration. If there's curves,
if there's hills,
vertical curves, hills, yeah, things of that nature, all that is taken into consideration when you're factoring in establishing speed limits. So a number of factors go into it, and typically it really all revolves around sight distance and stopping distance. I mean, those are the two major things that you're trying to address
and
there.
Traffic movements into and off.
Traffic movements as well, that's correct.
So ultimately what we're trying to do is, in an area where you would have vehicles entering and exiting a street, we're trying to ensure that you have plenty of time to stop.
That's correct. That's correct.
During any of those interruptions. So
yep.
The police play a big part in this, Charlie, as I said. So the traffic engineers, they do studies, they determine what the safe speed is, and then the police, as part of their public safety responsibility, they're tasked with ensuring that. So I realize speeding tickets aren't the most popular things. I'll tell you that a lot of times when somebody gets pulled over, if they've got a pretty good record, they don't typically get a speeding ticket. There are a lot of warnings that are issued, and it really is just you need to slow it down. That's the whole purpose.
I will throw out one other instance, school speed zones.
School speed zones.
Those are set limits and usually within a certain number of feet of a
sure.
school.
And that I'm assuming, and I'll let Mike talk more about it, but I believe that has to do a lot with traffic congestion with pedestrians.
It is.
Entering and exiting between cars.
Yes. I mean, you've got higher, I guess, concentration of pedestrians, usually young people who aren't paying attention as much, higher concentration of vehicles, parents dropping off, school buses, things of that nature. When you do have multiple cars that are parked on streets or driving on the streets, then your sight distance is impaired as well, and so all that is taken into consideration, 20 miles an hour.
Right.
Some places you'll see on a highway, if there's a school zone, maybe 25, something like that, but typically it's 20, and that is to give you plenty of time to stop if someone shoots out in front of you and whatnot. So.
And we, a lot of times when you see traffic enforcement in a school zone, Charlie, it's not because the tickets are more expensive in a school zone. The reality is we've received complaints about unsafe driving in those. I know my wife was one of them. Thankfully, she no longer picks up or drops my children off, because I'd hear about it Every day. Every day.
Can you fix this ticket?
Frequent. No, it was her complaining about the people going past.
You need more of enforcement.
Yeah, that was, and frequently it was as she was sitting in the line, I would receive the call. They're going to kill somebody. You've got to do something about this.
So. I'm sure Rocky and his co-workers receive comments when they meet their friends at the grocery store and other places. Can you run speed check at this block of Frank Phillips whatever?
We get a lot of that.
We typically get several complaints a week in residential neighborhoods or school zones or those kind of things about people that need to slow down. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that.
Okay. Well, Lisa Beeman's sitting over there.
That's it. Lisa's in the corner, and she's actually got the big story of the show. Lisa, it was just last weekend, wasn't it?
Last weekend, yes.
Last weekend. We had some special guests here from out of state, and they were here to help us with our Tower Green project. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, we were pleased and honored to have 13 students as well as two professors from the School of Architecture at Taliesin, which is the Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture. They actually have two schools. One, I think, is in Wisconsin and one is in Arizona.
Scottsdale, it seems like.
His home in Tower in just north of Madison, I'll think of the name of the street, the name of the town, after you walk out the door. But
absolutely. So they were in town. They came in on the 15th, which I believe was, or 14th, which was really late on a Friday night, and they stayed through the following Tuesday, the 18th. And we invited them to come in and work with our design team on coming up with concepts for the Tower Green space. As you know, this is a $1.7 million project that was approved by the voters on March 6th in our GO bond election, and includes closing of 6th Street between Dewey and Osage, right there between the Price Tower and the Community Center. It's about 1.6 acres, and so we've had lots of opportunities for public input, as well as a public survey that we've taken. So we asked them to come in, look at the input we've received so far, hold another public input session, which they did on Sunday, the 16th, I guess, and then they kind of went into retreat, basically, and for 2 days, all day Monday, I believe Monday night, through the night as well, and Tuesday, they sketched out designs. We asked them for 3 designs on how they could take the public input, as well as what they visually see. Because, these students are very well versed in the ideas and the concepts of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture, which, as we know, he did the Price Tower and influenced the community center, the construction of the community center through one of his associates. And so at 5 o'clock on Tuesday, they presented 3 design concepts showing a unified community gathering space in that area. And it was very interesting because they saw things that others of us don't see, which was really cool. They saw some really terrific ways to pull together the view between the community center and the Price Tower. And they used some really cool things that planners love, like bioswales to handle storm drainage.
Yes. Lisa's been wanting to build a bioswale for years.
Love that idea. And so we have no, it's not. It's not a weedy ditch.
For those
ditch.
Of you all who missed Micah's comment, he referred to a bioswale as a weedy ditch.
It's not. It's not a weedy ditch. And we have natural storm drainage problems in this area anyway. And so because of their creativity and buying into that bioswale green environment thing that I love so much, somehow or another, when they say it, it comes off as cool, but when I say it, it comes off as wacky.
Sounds like a stinky compost pile when we talk about it.
Yes. So they came up with
some... It's only because you have so many friends.
That's right. But they came up with 3 really creative design concepts that showed the use of native and natural materials, the use of bioswales, capturing some of the culture and the history that we already have in the community, and bringing these 2 iconic structures together in a way that really celebrates that space. And so they presented those on Friday to the public. And now the design team, which is the city staff, working with Scott Ambler and his associates and Val Callaghan and her associates at the community center, will start to pull together those three concepts into a final design. And that final design will be presented to the Tower Green Design Committee next Wednesday at noon at their regular meeting on Wednesday the 26th.
These are open to the public for anyone who
yes,
would like to come.
They are open to the public. And we'll work together with that design committee until they feel comfortable with a final design that then will be presented to the City Council, hopefully at the first meeting in November, November 5th.
Yes.
And then after that, once we've all agreed on a design, final design, then we would go out and do construction drawings, and then, you know, maybe in about a year start construction. That'll take about a year or so. We're looking at about 2 years from now for the whole thing to wrap up. I do want to assure folks that we're concerned about the existing fountain at the Bartlesville Community Center, that each of these concepts...
That was one of the questions on the online survey.
Right, yeah. And so each of these concepts showed options to renovate or repurpose that fountain, keeping it in place and using it as a maybe more as a more interactive water feature than just as a fountain. And also the design concepts, they also were asked to look at the reconfiguration of the entrance to Bartlesville Community Center. There was $134,000 that was in a CIP election, I think it was in 2015, that included
concrete work.
Yeah, concrete work and handicapped accessibility at the front entrance. And so each of those designs also looked at that, how to do bus drop-offs and things like that. So it was an exciting process and fun to be part of. And so we'll go on from there and kind of congeal it all together into one plan.
It has been a truly exciting process, Charlie. And I wanted to take a minute and compliment Lisa and also Scott Ambler and the two council members who serve on this committee, which is council members Gentius and Kurd. I've never been part of a project in the city that seemed to receive this degree of attention and input. The process was deliberately set out to obtain as much input as possible. And even when Lisa and I and Terry had spoken in the beginning and Micah, and we had sort of planned for how we would obtain input, even at that point in time, and we'd included substantial amounts of public input, even at that time, I don't think we had anticipated quite the level that the committee would take it to. So there's been an amazing commitment. I know that it has involved extra hours. And when Taliesin was here, I know Lisa was part of that entire process during that weekend. I'm sure that the council members were as well. I was actually out of town, so I wasn't able to be. I would have liked to, but it's been quite something to watch. And so I hope that once the final design is completed and when the community sees what they have created, because in reality, this has been driven by community input. It's been driven by a very cool concept to bring in the Taliesin students. We all got to learn a new word called charrette, which apparently is where we stand around and swap ideas about how to do these things, and it's kind of chaotic and it doesn't appeal to me because I'm a very structured person, but let them have their moment. It worked very well, and I want to compliment everybody involved in this. It's been very cool to watch and to see the degree of interest and involvement in it. So, like I said, I just wanted to make sure and take a minute and compliment Lisa. She's been a big part of this for quite some time.
And I'm reading into this that Lisa, the talks now and for the next several weeks have and will continue to look at a lot of things other than the swells. traffic flow will change because we're closing part of a street, et cetera, et cetera.
So. Right. Yes, we'll look at traffic flow. All the technical details that engineers get caught up in, those will all be included, as well as how to actively use the space. All of the designs showed a stage for performance and how that could fit in between the two structures and not, you know, stand out or take away from those. Very exciting.
Well, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I believe we've drawn to a close another program. We appreciate you hosting us as always.
Always happy to welcome folks in, and I don't think Terry Micah got to talk about all the engineering things that he wanted.
He did, and in fact, they're over here making fun of me because he sat here and made notes the entire time we were talking about things he was going to talk about. and then he didn't get to talk about any of it. And in fact, I made him talk about speed, how engineers go about setting speeds. So,
Micah, do you have two words about water reuse we can talk about real quick?
I don't.
Okay, then in that case, thank you very much. News on the way next.
What does your homeowner's insurance cover? Call Phoenix Insurance for a quote at 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville.